shall we pray. Heavenly Father, we know that amongst the people in Christendom, there wouldn't be one that would deny that you're here or that you are present and that you're watching over creation and doing great things insofar as you're taking care of all things, Lord, answering prayer and doing much for the people. But Father, many of them do not realize that you are here in a way that you haven't been here since the time of the Apostle Paul and are lingering near in the pillar of fire to raise the dead and to lead us into the millennium. And we thank you, Father, that we know that that was the ministry of the prophet to declare that you are here. And we appreciate that. We just pray, Lord, that we might know the true significance of it and not only know the true significance, but go beyond that, which is the revelation be so deep and so pervasive that we would honor you and we would worship you, Lord, and we would be more serious and sober concerning our relationship to you and also to each other, because we know that your own word is said, how can a man say that he loves God if he doesn't love his brother? So, Father, we want to be in that great position that we can be in, Lord, to be true servants of yours, true worshipers and true brothers and sisters, a true part of the faith. So help us this morning in our studies, Lord, to understand what the prophet said, to receive what he said as living reality, whether it be for an impetus in our spiritual life, the proper understanding or healing, whatever it is, Lord, we know it all lies in this message. There is no doubt about it. And we just leave it in your hands in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, we're on number 33, and it'll be the last message, I believe, on Melchizedek. And before I go any further, I forgot to mention we get together next Sunday about 1 o'clock to sit down and have dinner. Be just about right. Now, we left off last Wednesday about paragraph 162 on page 32, and Brother Branham had just finished explaining again the end time sign of Messiah, which took place way back in Genesis 18 and then repeated itself in Samaria and other and various places. Now, he mentions particularly that Sarah was in the tent back of the of God, and God speaking in the form of a man to Abraham, and he read her heart, told what was in her heart. Now, that was in paragraph 160. Now, 161, he says, that Melchizedek was flesh. Now, he represented himself in a human body, and then later he was made flesh, or actually the word is became flesh. And now tonight he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And Brother Branham was using that, of course, as the illustration and the springboard to show Matthew 12 in evidence and Luke 17 in evidence in his ministry to the people, that they may know that this was the end of time, and time was just about all over. Now, that word represented, the word represent in a fairly good dictionary has about 9 different points of meaning to it, of which, unfortunately, I myself am guilty of using almost exclusively rather than using the meaning that Brother Branham himself was using when he uses the word represented. Now, we often use it as number 7, to act or stand in the place of, to be an agent, a proxy or substitute for. You say, well, he represented me. The lawyer will represent me at court. The ambassador represents the king, and so on. Then it says, to speak and act for duly conferred authority as an ambassador. Well, we use that one. Then to serve as a specimen, example type, or instance of, exemplifier, tip, or typify. But notice there's a bunch ahead of that. Number 1, to represent is to present or picture to the mind, put clearly before the mind. 2, A, to present a likeness or image of, portray or depict. We use that to a degree. To be a likeness or image of as a picture or statue is. 3, to present in words, describe, state, or set forth, often to do so forcibly or earnestly, so as to influence action, persuade hearers, make effective protest as he represented the war already lost. 4. A. To be assigned for, stand for, denote, designate, symbolize, as represents the as X, you know, in Christmas, or X represents the unknown. Not in Christmas, but use that in algebra. B. To denote or express by symbols characters, as represent mathematical quantities by letters. 5. To be the equivalent of, correspond to, as in different place or time, as a cave represented home to these people. 6. To present, produce, or perform a play, to play the part of, impersonate, as in a drama. So Brother Branham often used the term represented or impersonated, and what he had in mind, I can see from the dictionary, is to present or picture to the mind, put clearly before the mind, to present a likeness or image, to portray, depict, to be a likeness or image as a picture or statue, is to present in words, describe, state, or set forth often, to do so forcibly, earnestly, so as to influence action, persuade hearers, and so on. So when Brother Branham said here that Melchizedek was flesh, represented himself in a human body, he's speaking of God doing all these things in order to present to us an actual understanding of what we cannot see, but is made visible to us by some means and by actions, thereby we can really know what is behind it all. So Brother Branham was very concise in this word, and it's missed me so many times because I say of my own usage of a word, and there again is the example that we are so fallible in using our own understanding to comprehend what he said, and it can't be done unless the understanding has been changed sufficiently to get what he's saying. Now, let's just hit this a minute. You know, I got a problem in doing things like this. I never know I'm going to stop where I'm going. So just hang in there. We'll get through today somehow. Or the next day, or the next day, or the next day. All right. It's in Luke. And it's in the first chapter, of course. And it speaks of John the Baptist. And it says that John the Baptist he'll have the Holy Ghost in his mother's womb, of course. He won't drink. He'll be a Nazarite. In verse 16, and many of the children of Israel shall return to the Lord their God. And that lets you know that the people have already been turned away from God, whether they know it or not, whether they believe it or not, whether they want to know it or not, whether they want to accept it, what has been shown to them, they're turned away. Now, I use that because this is our age. Now, and he shall go before what? The Lord God, in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the ignorant. That word disobedient is not a willful act, a contrary to what somebody wants. It signifies ignorance and misunderstanding. So therefore, he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. And the word K, I don't believe, is a conjunction. I believe it is a preposition and should be called even. Even the ignorant and unlearned, the ununderstanding to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The people prepared, as I many times said, would almost signify to us and would signify a redundancy in here. Because if you're ready, you're prepared. That isn't true. The preparedness goes plumb back to the beginning. See? But when you reach the state that John came, you are looking at predestination in an unready state. So you're looking at a prepared people who are predestinated, but they're unready for it. Now, if it happened back there, under one nation, one people, understanding one God, with one priesthood, with one theology, with all one looking for a Messiah, and they blew it, then don't tell me a universal church spread around the globe that's 25,000 miles in circumference with 5 billion people and 1 billion claiming Christianity are going to see it. That is ridiculous and asinine. And anybody who thinks different from that, you know, I'm ashamed of you. I'm ashamed of you. You got to be some Pollyanna, sweet Susanna composition which doesn't understand God. Because look, we're at the end of the trail. And millions now living will die with the billions that are going to be atomized. There is no such thing as a large number of people going into the kingdom at the end time. It just isn't true. You say, well, look at the town of Israel. 3,000, 5,000. Ha, ha! 5,000 and 3,000 were fed loaves and fishes. But about maybe 3 million there didn't get even a peep and cared less. 3,000, 5,000 isn't very much. You know, that's about the number that got 8 loaves and fishes, and the same number got after Pentecost, 3,000 and 5,000. You don't get very many. And out of millions, 5 billion people are going to be atomized, roughly. So here they are. We're looking at the thought here of Brother Branham teaching us, and every word really needs to be scrutinized to know just what we're looking at. So we see what God has done here through Melchizedek, and you will see what God has done through the prophet, because the same God is in the prophet to the extent... Now watch it. How much of God was in Melchizedek? Now this kind of blows the mind, but I can't help it because my mind gets blown too, and I just look at it. How much of God was in Melchizedek? You say, well, it is quite agreed that every bit of God could have been in Melchizedek. Now the question comes up. Tell me how much of God was in Melchizedek and necessary at that particular time. Well, if you are going to look at it in the light of present scripture, where he is king, that is synonymous with King David. So therefore, all of God is in him. Because when that spirit that's in the midst of us becomes incarnate to us, we're crowned King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That is the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost all wrapped in one. We could say all of it. All right? How much was in the same personage, not designated Melchizedek now, an entirely different ministry prior to the burning of Sodom and the bringing of the Son? Elohim. How much is here? Elohim. How much is in the prophet? If God wanted to be all in William Branham, he could be. If he wanted to be William Branham, according to the measure of the word for this hour, he could be. But in two cases, we have seen, as I understand, a fullness, and we don't know that in either case it was actually requisite, a prerequisite, although with God I believe it was, so therefore with us. The prerequisite would be fulfilled, the fullness would be there, though not necessarily in the man, if we're going to take a measure word in each prophet, but Christ was the complete fulfillment. So Brother Branham could have had a portion, which would be the measure of the Spirit for the ministry, for the word of this hour. Now, that includes, number one, the shout. So the Lord himself in entirety descends from heaven with a shout, making it ready, making a people ready, already prepared from before the foundation of the earth to meet the Lord in the air. Now the Lord in the air is identical. The Lord said to my Lord, set thou on my right hand. So don't have somebody stopped up there. That won't work. Come down is come down. See, so we're looking at this thing. Brother Branham is showing this here in this message very, very strong. And then he says he later became flesh. Who became flesh? We know it was God with us. And we know at the River Jordan, God came in. We cannot begin to limit God according to what we see by size or what we think we see by manifestation, which could be a matter of creation or this or that, and say, well, that places the size of God. It doesn't. Brother Branham made a very astute statement. He mentioned the fact that God reduced himself to the size of a sperm and an egg. That will really boggle your mind. I can't understand all those things. I don't pretend to. I don't pretend to understand. All I know is we're looking at something here that's absolutely tremendous in this our day. Perhaps God will show us more of these things as we understand the prophet's message, but we see the importance of knowing what words really mean. Brother Branham is very, very accurate in what he is saying. Now, I'm going to say this because Brother Branham said it. You know, they criticized him. They said, how can you, without even a grammar school education, go before kings and so on? He said, God said so. And then he said, sure, I only went to the seventh grade. And he stopped and said, but you better understand, I knew what was in those books. Don't sell me short, in others, I'm some kind of a dumb bunny. Brother Branham was so smart that he underestimated the intelligence of the preachers in Chicago when he challenged them to step forward right beside him and argue the book. And he said, I was surprised that they knew better, for the first one to do it would have been carried out feet first. Kind of cute, isn't it? Makes you think. Prophet was no dumb hillbilly. Don't you ever let anybody tell you that. Then don't you ever think the devil's gang isn't smart either. Now let's get one thing fast, too. Fastened down like a nail. The last generation of people are chaff that burn. Right? In spite of what you and I might not want. In spite of you and I being nicer than God, because we really are. After all, you've never seen God, but you've seen me. I'm a nice guy. Wouldn't wish anybody any harm. You know, John Dillinger said the same thing. You know, he lived in the house over here. We lived over there in Covington High. He said, here beats a heart that would do no man any harm that only wanted good. It must have skipped a few beats. Funny world we live in. Funny world. He became flesh. The same one we're talking about became flesh. Literally was not made, but became. To become is a period of transformation or evolution. It's like mutation. Do you realize that? The life in the soul uses the material that was created. It utilizes it and forms the form to its own specifications. That's why God redeems these bodies. How can God redeem a soul unless you look at that soul in the sense of the whole context of the being? But if your soul is a part of God, how can it be redeemed in the sense of it having sinned? It is bought back to its position. But the body is the one that goes to the grave, then comes out. Where's the change in your soul? See, I'm going to change my soul, and you change God. You're meddling with seed. All right. Represented himself. The human later became, that human body then later became flesh. What did he do with the body of Melchizedek? Depends on what substance it was made out of. Just go back to a substance, that's all, whatever it was, to its utilitarian position. What if this is purely a theophonic form that God used? Like Brother Brown said, Jesus kept his theophany, theophonic form. We bypassed ours. What if this was it? What do you think God did? God, what would God do? He would merely from himself begin to interpose himself from what was within him. Make himself manifested. So there'd be nothing for God at all to just simply unmanifest, you might say. No problem. Then, when it came to producing a body down the road for Jesus, there'd be no problem there at all. because we just merely take the same life, and now, instead of utilizing the life and the spirit that was within itself, he would now begin to utilize that which was around it. Because you notice, brother and sister, when God ever used the word create, it means to make something out of nothing. When he uses the word form, it means he makes something out of that which has already been created. But there's a part never was created. There's a part that always was. This is a great mystery, tremendous mystery. What are we going to say about it? Not too much. All right, who is this Melchizedek then? Never had a father, never had a mother, had no beginning of days, never had the end of life, and he met Abraham. What kind of sign did he perform? He said it was to repeat again before the end time. You believe that? Let's pray. Now, people do not believe that that's to repeat. They don't believe it. They don't believe the authority of Luke 17. They are merely interested in transposing it into an illustration rather than a reality. And all they ever look at is the bad part, the negative part. Sodom conditions, Noah conditions. They don't realize what God did personally under those conditions, and what God did personally, he is obligated to do again, or he should have told us the difference. You say, well, just a minute. No, don't just a minute me, because in that chapter of Luke 17, I see a division of the wicked from the righteous and the righteous from the wicked, and I see the end of both. So therefore, the same God has to act in the same way. People just don't want to believe it. I'm glad he gave us understanding, but we'd be in bad shape. See, this end time word, the Lord descending with the shout to the people who are living, and their relationship is to dead. What's going to happen to the dead? What's going to happen to us? You are not going to die. God himself is going to come down with the message. God is going to do this. God is going to do that. And it says, no room for a puffed up head. You get no preeminence whatsoever because God does it. It should strike a note of sobriety and humility within the believer, as it says in Amos, telling us to do justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly, softly before the Lord. Now, we're going to start reading. We'll go rapidly, or we'll never get finished. Brother Branham prays, dear God, I believe the scriptures that you have said you were... I believe the scripture said that you were the same yesterday and forever, and it's sincerely in my heart, Lord, I know that something's fixing to take place. Now, I don't know what he's referring to. Is that a further revelation that came forth before he died, or is it a matter of William Branham decreasing that God may increase? Now, remember, for John the Baptist to decrease, he was murdered. His head was cut off. Brother Branham's head was not cut off. He was injured in the head and thereby died. It could be the decreasing of William Branham and the increasing of God. I don't know. He doesn't say, I'm afraid to say anything, Lord. Thou knowest the heart of your servant. 164. And how many times down through the age when you sent things? Now watch. People fail to get it. Man is constantly praising God for what he did and saying what great things he's going to do, but ignoring that which he is doing. Only a bride can know what God is doing, because this statement holds good all through the ages. It doesn't only hold good to the day of Brother Branham. Oh, great Brother Branham, look at the great things that were done. Oh, great Brother Branham coming back, great things are going to be done. In the meantime, just sit there, fold your hands. But remember, to get it out to everybody, this, everything's at a standstill until Brother Branham gets back. Now listen, even if that is the truth, the attitude is completely wrong. Because what is going on now? What is going on now? God didn't leave here. He's not some yo-yo on a string. He came down, he goes up, he'll come down and go up and come down. It doesn't say that. Brother Branham categorically said Jesus does all three in descending. And he doesn't say descendings, he said descending. Now, if it's supposed to be descendings, Brother Branham better come back and tell us. Because he blew it. It's in descending. The same one that came down is here to raise the dead. Anybody knows that. The Holy Ghost in a pillar of fire. He's going to raise the dead. When Jesus was lying there in the grave, and his soul had gone to Hades, that great one went on down there to preach. He preached in a theophonic form. The Bible said the God of our Lord Jesus Christ raised him. God raises the dead. And the dead have to be raised before there's a rapture. So who is here? The same God that Abraham saw in chapters 14 and 18, because Abraham believed God who raises the dead. And that was not in a human body. It was represented in a human body. The very fact that God will represent himself through a prophet shows that he is here to raise the dead. Why? Because this is the end time. This is Revelation 10:7-10:7. And notice that with the going of the prophet, after Revelation 10 and 7, there comes the fact that John said, the word of God came and said, eat this book. And then he said, for thou shalt appear before kings. And so on. And I said, Brother Branham, is that you or what is it? He said, that is the word. And the word has been doing it. Certainly, there's been a tremendous increase in the prophetic word. A tremendous increase in the spirit and power of God. You say, how? Because for the first time we're learning the true word of God. And God is bound to dynamize his true word because his true word is the vehicle of the Holy Ghost. There is no other conduit. That's why you don't pray all night anymore. And fuss and fume all day as you used to do. And have Pentecostal worries and Nazarene, what have you. You pile word upon word upon word. When the life gets released, something happens. I tell you, I'll never cease thanking God for the healing I got by the life released in his word. That's the way it's going to be. Oh, one day, death is going to flee from us entirely. Listen, every bit of decay. And listen, you know that AIDS is like worse than cancer because the body decays. And there's decay going on in us now. Job said, skin worms eat my flesh, they ain't going to eat ours. Oh, we're going to give them the arsenic of the Holy Ghost. You've got to watch them all die. Oh, yes, the fumigating power of those heaven-sent breezes is going to come in and get all rid of that stuff. Somebody's going to get it. Might as well hold your cup. Now, Mark Twain said, to a friend of his, money getting close, he said, sure is. He said, when it gets any closer, grab me a handful. Then why sit out here and not grab your handful when God's Spirit's moving? And the Word of God's moving, grab your handful. Bring your empty earthen vessels. Bring your buckets, not a few. Sure. What for? For the Holy Ghost? No, for the Word, because he is here. Don't ask God for what's already here. Just add God to make good use of what's here. That's what's wrong with the world. Never did make right use of anything. Poor old Adam fell into sin. Everything went down the drain since. So there's nothing left but pollution. Tell you right now, there's no way that this nation, this whole world, is going to get out of here except by cruel, terrible death if God doesn't do something. Everybody knows it. What happened? The ozone's moved over to Australia now. That's really giving the nips, isn't it? The big hole up there? Left the North Pole's over Australia. What's it going to do? Magnetic North Pole's moving to the true North Pole day by day. Nobody knows what's going to happen. I'm telling you it's going to happen. Ah, the dead are going to come out of the ground. Yes, sir. A rapture's going to take place. I have to worry about these guys. Don't get your eyes on that stuff. Those holes in heaven just mean a lot to me. It's clearing the way for us. Sure, clearing the way. Call it that. Whatever you want to do. We got no problem. Let those guys think what they want. Always looking at things that are past, looking down the road, we know what's going on. It's been through the ages. Why did the Roman Catholic Church fail to see St. Patrick as God's prophet? Why? Because he was different from them. Why did they kill Joan of Arc, a prophetess? Burner is a witch. They can't tell a witch from a saint. Can't tell a prophet from a soothsayer. Oh, listen, how far the church has fallen. William Branham, soothsayer, came on the scene and could out-soothsay all the soothsayers. Put them all to rout. That's a laugh. Now is in the kingdom of Satan divided and fallen. Brother, sister, I'm telling you something, stand with this Word of God. We don't need to be contemptuous of the Word, but I'm going to tell you, the world, its system has got my contempt because it stinks. Got no cause except they'd love to drag me down and kill me and kill you for it. Let's fight back with the sword of God, brother, sister. Brother Brand said, draw closer together in these closing hours, not further apart. We've got one word to stand on. I'm doing the best to stabilize it with you. That's where it all starts, because that's where God is. You can say a lot of things in your heart and mind, brother, sister, but you're not saying what the prophet said. Why was William Branham that man? Because of that word. Both Logos and Rhema. Same as Moses said, you're going to a land, and he said, it's the word that's going to get you there. And the people are going to say, oh my, what a people of word. Listen, perhaps in that great day in the white throne, all the people stand back and see a bride, and they say, that was the people of the word. You know why? Because the foolish virgin didn't have it. Oh my, my, my. What's in this hour? Brother Branham, like your prayer said, Father, it's always past. You hide it from the eyes of the wise and prudent. No wonder you said to those priests, you garnish the tombs of the prophets, and you're the ones that put them in there, the very same ones that said, if I was there in the day of Jesus, I would have known, I would not have crucified him. That's a lie. It makes you a crucifier right there. Absolutely. Prophet is right. After they're gone, see, it's too late then to call up anything. They see their mistakes. It's too late to catch up. Now, he said, after they're gone, it's too late to catch up. See, they see their mistake. They always persecute you, Lord, in whatever form you come in. Now, that's in Acts 9. Why persecutest thou me, Paul, Saul? Why do you persecute him? Now, let's go to Matthew 23. And in here, you'll notice 34 to 39. Wherefore, behold, I send you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some you shall kill and crucify, some you'll scourge in your synagogues, persecute in the city, that upon you may come all the righteous blood shed upon the earth, and the blood of righteous Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, son of Berechiah, whom he stood between the temple and the altar. Verily I say unto you, all these things shall come upon this generation. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets, and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathers her chickens under her wings, and you would not. Behold, your house is left unto you desolate. Therefore I send you, you shall not see me henceforth, till you shall say, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Now listen, how does he gather the people? By the prophets. And how do the prophets do it? By the word. So the people are gathered in one way. Now, you can say what you want, but we're talking about destiny. Because he said, upon you may come all the righteous blood. We're talking about an end. We're talking about the finish. And therefore, at the finish, there has to be a prophet or the people will not be gathered to God. You say, I don't believe it, brother. Listen, kid, you believe what you want. Levi is going to look you in the face. Every single one, the youngest, the oldest. I'm going to eyeball every one of you, and I'm doing it. Let me tell you something. I'm giving you, thus saith the Lord, the word of Almighty God. You do what you want with it. You do what you want with it. Well, I'm going to tell you, you and I are going two different places if you don't see the word of God. Because you're saying the church is going to do it. A preacher is going to do it. My understanding is that is a lie, because there's 15 million people believe 15 million different ways. And anybody that doesn't look for some sort of indication is a jackass. Oh, I know people wouldn't like that in the pulpit here. You know, Brother Bailey should say something else. I just said jackass. And I'm sorry I insulted the jackass. Because he doesn't know any better. But he knows his master's crib. Yeah. But God said, my people don't know me or my ways. I can't help what I preach. Now listen to me. The spiritual condition of that hour, of 34 to 39, is the whole chapter 23. I'm not going to take time to read it, but I'd advise you to read it. Especially if you play this tape over. And in there you will find the ultimate of the age is hypocrisy. pretending what isn't there and actually knowing it. That's where you can have love with dissimulation, which I have talked about many times, which is a hypocritical love. There is only one true love, my brother, sister, let us understand that, and that is the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, and there's only one way to get it, and that's by having the Word, or you are nothing but a foolish virgin at best. And I don't mean to say nothing but a foolish virgin, so that's a bad thing, because they're coming up in the second, the white throne judgment, which we may have time this morning. We're not going to have time this morning, no way. If I get this read, I'll be doing good. Cover it another time. All right. Remember, 34 to 39 is in the context of 23 chapter verses 1 to 39. Brother Branham says, I pray tonight, God, just one more time. Now, what is that one more time? That one more time is for the manifestation of the messianic sign, the last sign the church gets before there's a rapture. Now, let's understand that. And they've seen it so many times, he has to keep praying one more time, because he knows, as God knows, once was enough, but they saw it thousands of times. And he prays one more time, because to not pray one more time, in humility, to attempt to use it, could be very bad, because then God could send sudden destruction upon a wicked an adulterous nation. But if he prays, then God in mercy will let it be shown one more time. This is a sermon of mercy that Brother Branham preached. Because the actions could not be merciful if the sermon was not a sermon of mercy. You see, every message on redemption is, that is true, but this is particular because we're dealing with judgment, we are dealing with God and his presence. He said, tomorrow we're scheduled to go to Tucson. Other parts of the world, other cities we preach in. But dear God, there might be strangers here tonight who have heard these words preached, but have never seen it, have never seen them made manifest. In other words, they've never seen the living Word of God, where God comes on the scene and says, yes, this is so, what the man has preached. You at the beginning, as they asked, you at the beginning, when those disciples, Cleopas and his friends were Emmaus, were walking along the road, and you stepped up from the bush, began to talk with them after the resurrection, you preached to them. Why, you asked, fools and slow of heart, don't you know that Christ should suffer these things and enter in his glory? But still they never recognized it. All day long they walked with you and still didn't know you. But when night came, they constrained you to come in. When they went into the little inn and closed the door, then you did something just the way you did it before your crucifixion. And they recognized it was the risen Christ. In a few moments, you were behind the curtains and gone. Quickly, they ran and told the disciples, Lord is risen. All right. Notice in their fools and slow heart, don't you know that Christ should suffer these things in your glory? Now, only the elect can receive the revelation or explanation after the word has been manifested. No matter what you see or think about it, the real meaning takes a revelation. See, right? That's the truth. Only the elect can receive the revelation or explanation after the word has been manifested. Always there's the explanation after manifestation. Jesus manifested, then explained. Even then, they couldn't get it. Even then, they couldn't get it. It took all their thinking concentrating. It didn't work until God allowed the real meaning to come forth from the revelation. This message and William Branham is no different, because Hebrews 13 and 8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. And what he did and how he did it and how it was received. So there's action and counteraction. Understanding, misunderstanding. Then true understanding. All of this has never changed. Always God must manifest something. Something must be done. Then it must be explained for the revelation to come out. And even then, if God doesn't quicken it, it's not going to work. It alone can put us into action. That's the He is risen. They ran quickly. Father God, I believe you're still alive. I know you are. And you proved it to us so many times. Could you do it just once more for us, Lord? Prove he's alive. In other words, if he's alive, he'll do the same things he did in the flesh and do it now the same way. If we found grace in your sight, let it happen once more. I am your servant. These are your servants in here. Lord, all I've said wouldn't amount to anything. Just one word from you would be more than I've said in all these five messages. It would be more, just one word from you. Won't you speak, Lord, that the people might know that I've told the truth? Grant it. God, I ask it in Jesus' name once more. Amen. Now notice how he prayed. God, I ask it in Jesus' name. So let's stay with the way he prayed. I hear there's people who want to change this. All right, now notice it. Won't you speak, Lord, that the people might know I've told the truth? Speak, one, speak by showing. Two, speak by the prophet's explanation. Three, speak to the heart, as in Ephesians 1:17. It didn't say the prophet would do it. It said the Spirit would do it. So the Spirit can come into full manifestation and deal in a prophet. But unless the Spirit, the born again, is speaking within our heart and witnessing, there's no revelation. How could anybody look at that and say that is the spirit of the devil? Well, I'm just going to say one thing. If they can say it, that's fine by me. And if it's the spirit of the devil, that's great for them. That's fine. I can't see it that way. Nothing in me ever said that was the devil. Nothing in you says that either. See? All right. Now, notice Brother Branham is addressing Father God. He's addressing the Father. Not addressing the Son now. This is especially looking at that the whole message, God, Melchizedek, the Elohim came down. You're looking at the fact of the very present, from 167. Now, I don't know you. I know some people. I know this boy sitting here. I know Bill Dow sitting right there. There's Brother Blair, Rodney Cox. It's hard to see out there in the right hand at the present time. I can't see anybody I actually know. Now, how many in there know that I'm a stranger to you? Raise up your hand. Know that I know nothing about you? Raise up your hands both sides. How many here has something wrong or something that you know that I know nothing about? Raise up your hands. Now, it would be totally, absolutely, totally impossible for me to know anything about you. Otherwise, then it would have to come from some revelation of Spirit. Now, Brother Branham doesn't say revelation of the Spirit. He said revelation of Spirit. That could be an evil spirit, Spirit of God, or your own spirit. Now, he just tells you flat. It has to be known some way. Now, he has the Scripture behind him that when a prophet comes in the name of the Lord and says something, and the thing come to pass, you listen to that man. So Brother Branham has come with double proof at the beginning and the end. His ministry was full of proof that he was that prophet, and now he's proving again. So the Word of God is sandwiched between absolute, irrefutable, scriptural evidence, which means nothing to the hypocrites, the Pharisees. So forget them. Don't try to prove a point. No, wait. We don't have to fool with anything at all. We just leave it right there. Now, notice, otherwise it has to come by some revelation of Spirit. Jesus said the same thing. He back there in the trough of Matthew. And being I've told you all these nights and tonight that he is not dead, he's here and promised to do the same thing that God, the one that was in Melchizedek, and promised there would come a time in the last days, according to Malachi and Luke and St. Luke, that he would appear again in a human form among the people and do the same things and reveal the same things, the same messianic sign. How many know that? You Bible readers. Now, he doesn't say students or theologians. You Bible readers, and he says, I'm a servant of God, you're servants of God. So he's appealing to the people that are in one spirit with him. Now, the Son of Man revealed in human flesh, I know of no theologian who has ever said that. I'm not saying someone hasn't. I've not read every single book, of course. I read some of the books. And I've read enough books. But the Son of Man revealed in human flesh. I asked Brother Branham what that was. He said, that's a bride in every age. And, of course, if your hand does it, your body does it. So that's right. If Brother Branham was the hand doing it, then we have done it. The bride has done it. The bride has manifested. And remember, if William Branham did it according to Scripture and it's divine, then God did it. So, therefore, it is neither bride nor prophet. It is God. So that's what you're looking at. In other words, headship has returned. Okay, you Bible students know that, or Bible readers. You know that's the truth. So say amen. Then they said amen. So you must be all Bible readers. 169. Now I know it's foreign to the people today, but still it's the truth. That's the reason they didn't know Jesus of Nazareth. They knew their church creed, but they didn't know him. Now that's the danger I speak of. The usage of words according to a creedal theology, not a truly revealed theology. That's the trouble. But he came just the way the Bible said. Not a theologian, not a priest. He came as a prophet, and his own received him not. Now, he's emphasizing the point of the prophet. And as I said, last week, I forget Wednesday or whatever it was, that because of so many titles that God has, the least effective one, as far as we are concerned, in the light of redemption, is prophet. And that's wrong. Because if he weren't the Word, he couldn't be Redeemer. Because we also are Word. We're Word. We're soul. We're gene. We're attribute. We're part of God. Spirit sons. Spirit of faith. Children of Abraham, designating the flesh. And showing association with Jesus by flesh. Right down the line. See? All right. Can't know him except as a revelation. And it takes the Son to reveal him. Now, what have we got in our heart? The Spirit of his Son. That's his own Spirit. That portion, designating sonship, joined up with that little seed within us, makes us able to receive a revelation from God. Now, everybody's going to claim it. So there's going to be a showdown. I got news for you. The showdown is Mount Zion when it's too late. There's no showdown coming. It's all over. You know what Jesus' showdown was? Great tribulation. Resurrection didn't do it. Oh, they said they stole his body, hogwash. And they talked in tongues and manifested things. Oh, they said they're drunken bunch of idiots. 5,000, 3,000 joined him. Oh, they said you bunch of fools. Anything could fool you. My God. What's the matter with you jerks? You're sick, crazy, weird, you're finished. You know, come on. Don't budge anything. No, Brother Branham said it so beautifully. If you didn't have representation back there, you haven't got it now. If you weren't there then, whatever comes now means nothing. Let's take a little peek at this thing. You all believe the Bible. Sure you do. You believe the white throne judgment. And you believe that Satan forms an entire camp to try to destroy the saints of God and the kingdom of God to take over. That late in the day, and they're not repenting. They're just mad as hornets and determined to destroy. And they are people like you sitting here in the pews. I'm not saying you are. But you could look at, what are this church, a real group of people marched in here, and everyone was devil-possessed and serpent seed. And they're sweet and kind and smiling. How would you know? Same nice people. Hate God and his word, and multitudes of them claiming to have loved it. Yeah, that's what you're looking at. That's why the scripture's full of loving Zion. Loving it. The end time message. Loving it. When the day comes for its literal appearing. The earth to be cleansed for it to come down. Those people, billions and billions and billions, hate it. Now, come on. We're right back where people say, but Brother Vail, I got this Pentecost experience. I'm this person. I'm that person. And don't tell me I hate it because I love it. You just think you love it. You just think you love it. You got a false love because your love of Zion is built upon exactly what you believe now. Our love of Zion is built upon exactly what we believe now. And I'm going to tell you, Zion never ever looks so good. Nothing ever looks so good. Nothing ever will look so good. Because we're going to be there looking at it all the time. It's just marvelous. Now, if God will keep his word, and if it happens to fall on someone, that I know that's a little delight coming out. Then I'll get someone else. See, I want somebody I don't know, and I want you to pray. Now, look, there was a little woman one time in infirmity. She spent her money on doctors, and they could do her no good. She said in her heart, if I can touch the man's garment, I'll be made well. You remember the story. So all of them tried to get her to stay back, and she pressed through to touch the garment. And when she pressed the garment, she went back and sat down. Now, listen close. And Jesus turned and said, "Who touched me?" Why, Peter the Apostle rebuked him. He might have said something like, "Lord, don't say a thing like that. The people would believe there's something wrong with you. Because when you ask him to eat your flesh and drink your blood, that's bad enough. You already think there's something wrong with that. And you say, who touched me? Why, the whole crowd's touching you." See? See, the prophet's ministry to become stronger, the prophet's ministry became stronger, stranger and stranger to the people. William Branham did like Jesus. Until it seems ridiculous for religious people to believe. And now William Branham is making himself look like Jesus by quoting this and going to do it. He's going to do the very works. These people do not want enlightenment. The people do not want enlightenment. Luke 1 and 53. He hath filled the hungry with good things. The rich he hath sent away empty. Luke 6. Now, you know what I'm driving at. If you're coming and saying, "Well, I'm full, I don't need that," you're a Pharisee. You're going to get sent away empty. Going to take away everything you got. You'll go out of here and you'll have a dream of glory. Like a person who ate a big meal while he was starving. He had a dream. Next morning, his stomach was killing him with pain because he hadn't eaten a thing. That's all. Can't bring to birth or anything else. Luke 6, 22, 24. "Blessed are ye when men shall hate you, when they shall separate you from their company, shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil. For the Son of Man's sake, rejoice in that day and leap for joy. For behold, your reward is great in heaven. For in like manner did they their fathers unto prophets." See? "But woe unto you that are rich, for you have received your consolation. Woe unto you that are full, for you'll be hungry. Woe unto you that laugh." You're scorned, you'll be turned into weeping and wailing. Don't worry. Ephesians 5. You can put this all together for me, you're good Bible students. 5 and 13. "But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever," and I don't care what it is, "I can make light to you that it doesn't pay to put your finger on the anvil when I'm going to hit it with my hammer. You'll be full of light instantaneously." So God can send light with a swarm of bees, a plague, a rainbow around the sun, a hurricane, a pillar of fire, a prophet, or anything he wants to do, that is light. When something is made manifest. When it was made manifest, William Branham could read our hearts and our minds and our diseases and do what God wanted. That was light. Yeah. So there's light here. Now, let's go to John 3:16 and look at it. William Branham, light. John the Baptist was a light. L-I-G-H-T. In front of the capital L, capital I, capital G, capital H, capital T. There's the difference. John 3:16. Wonderful. Read 17. "For the God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. He that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Now watch. This is the condemnation. This is what queers all of redemption by the blood. This negates the blood and puts God to an open shame for what he's done. Light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. In plain English, they will not follow the glow and see where it went. Brother Branham loved that little phrase, "Come and see." Why, he said, "Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Come on down and see." Why, he said, "Come on down and see. Come on down and see." They refused to follow it. Even Nicodemus didn't follow it. Only the grace of God saved him, because when they said, why, he said, you are Galilean. Search and see no prophet comes out of Galilee. And John didn't, Nicodemus didn't even remember of the slaughter of the innocents, the Magi coming. He didn't remember. He didn't search it, or he would have known that Jesus came out of Bethlehem. I ask you, how much led are you following? Are you following right on down? Come on, it's up to us. We can turn it away. We can turn that away and turn that away. So, well, how you find something else? Or they say that was a rocket or something. Oh, come on now, a rocket, my foot. They know they're lying. That book against Brother Branham, really it's against him more than for him. It's supposed to be a compendium, a regular history of Pentecost. It is. And it's a good book. But it isn't going to get any marks for him in heaven if he's never going to, I don't think he's never going to get there. Read it in a different book entirely. What do you say? The casual spectator is not bad off. You're a liar. Don't get confused with American justice. Where if you interfere, like the poor doctor stopped on the road and helped somebody on the road hoping to do some service, and the guy sued him. They should have taken that skunk and tarred and feathered him. I'm not for doctors getting off of their bloody murder like they're doing. Today you don't even dare to try to help somebody that's being abused, because the law could turn on you. And at the same time, the law says if you don't report a crime going on or help somebody in a crime, you are guilty. What kind of law we got in America? If you're hoping for anything in this life, brother, I tell you, I've got some nice sharp knives, and I will help you cut your throat. It's a favor to you. I hate to do it, but, you know, if I have to. I am a very accommodating person. I want to show you how ridiculous can you be in thinking there's anything outside of this. He said, well, I don't think much of that. I don't think much. You don't have to. Just please produce something. But you better, because I was there. I saw the prophet. I saw she's crazy. Who do I like? Brother Ben said, put her outside and I get to her. I made sure the girl was by the door as she came out of the meeting. Making noise. She stood right by there and terror stricken for 1 minute. And he put his hand in you. She melted. Was a perfect baby. Show me that! I've seen it hundreds of times that you know nothing of. Hundreds in one night and not a miss. Then tell me any Pentecost, Baptist, Methodist, Nazarene, anybody got that? I haven't got time to spit in your face. No way. You see, you're judgmental, you're rotten. I'm taking sides with Jesus today. Take any side you want. Anything less would not dignify him. Anything more just might make me realize that I haven't gone anywhere a millionth mile closer to them. People can do what they want. He said, virtue went out of me. A different kind of a touch. Now anybody knows virtue strength. I got weak. Virtue left me. Brother Branham got weak. Daniel got weak. Oh, that's the sign of the devil. Well, come on, hot Charlie, full of the Holy Ghost. You do something. Anybody can talk. And talkers are going to hell. There's only one kind of talker that God looks at today, and those that talk this word. You do what you want. She looked around the audience, my little woman, told her about her blood issue. She found in her body the blood issue stopped. It was right. He said, your faith has saved you. In the Greek, the word sozo for healing and for salvation is the same thing, because he's Savior. Now, if that was in him yesterday, and the way he acted to prove that he was among the people the Messiah promised, and that's the way he identified himself and promised by the Bible, he'd do the same thing now, wouldn't he? Notice, among, not in. Among, in the midst. So God is not in the people, God is amongst the people, as well as in the people. And God isn't in the people per se. That's a tiny speck of the life of Almighty God, spirit life. Your soul came, identified, to build a body around it. That's why we should be temples of the Holy Ghost and live for Christ. Not be ungodly and do wicked things. keep all to repress all the world, the flesh, the devil, try to life and on. He will do the same thing. You say, did he say it's about healing the sick? Yeah. The Hebrews, the Bible I just read, Jesus Christ is now the high priest who can be touched, the feeling of our infirmities. Now you see, there again you're watching the very touching. Making a demonstration of the fact that God is absolutely knowledgeable through the efficacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and there is absolutely a door open that cannot be shut. We're looking at that. And remember, today there was a healing revival that was to preface the literal second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Brother Branham shows us that healing revival is absolutely identified and is the Alpha of the Omega when Jesus Christ in human form, or Elohim, call it what you want, in human form did these things, was touched. And as high priest after the day of Pentecost, he was touched. And he's still touched, but after Pentecost. Brother, sister, after the Apostle Paul, you do not see him in the midst. He went back. But he's come back to the temple. That's beautiful, because that's exactly the way it always is in Scripture. The temple gets defiled and God goes away. But there's always a time when he comes back to another temple. He left the Ephesian age. He had to. But he's come back to this age. Oh, praise God, and there's no stopping the bride getting out of here. He's touched with the feeling of our infirmities. How many know that's true? The Bible said he's the high priest. They can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. If he's the same high priest he was then, how would he act now? He'd have to act the same way he did then if he's the same high priest. Now you might, I'm not your high priest, you might touch me like touching your husband, your brother, or whatever, or some man. But you touch him, watch what happens. Now if I be God's servant, the prophet, and told you the truth, God will vindicate it to be the truth. Because you see, speaking God, do it one more time. You see, now here is why the counterfeit followed. But none was perfect, because of what, I'm God's servant too. See, God vindicate me. But only that happened to Brother Branham. They also claim the inheritance like Esau's. But the younger has it. William Branham was not born in Pentecost. The younger brother, identified with Pentecost. But he wanted the birthright. He wanted the power and the message, and a power and the vindication to bring a vindicated message. He didn't want Pentecostism to vindicate a rightness. This is the door. See, we've got it. Something you say or do. No, something you believe. God's already done it. That's why the doers are adrift in the sea of works, and they get them nowhere. Now, somebody just looked at God and said, God, that man doesn't know me. He knows nothing about me. I'm pretty strange to him. Let my faith touch you, Lord. You know what's the matter with me, Lord. You know all about me. You know who I am. And you, as the same you knew Peter was, and Nathaniel, you knew what was wrong with an issue of blood. This man tells me you're the same yesterday, day, and forever. Then, Lord, let my faith touch you. And if you'll do that, and if that'll be proving himself here, how many of you believe with all your heart, if you'll do it one more time, two or three people's witness, God bless you. They raise your hand. Of course, what's he saying? That you'll believe what I'm telling you about in this message, which is vindicated today. Now, those who never had a clue to do this, that is to reach out for something that would touch God and bring them the light over their heads, and Brother Branham speak them, and some of them called, never had a clue. I believe this is a reason from Scripture that says the Spirit strikes everybody. In the last days, the Spirit upon all flesh. The pillar of fire did not seek out the elect. No, the pillar of fire was merely doing this to vindicate his presence and the power of the word that was given at that particular time. See? Now, don't be nervous. Humbly, reverently say, Lord, I'll serve you. That'll be the truth. And if I touch your garment, then you speak back through the man. And that will prove that what he said is the truth. Is that right? That's the evidence of the message and the power of God. Okay, how many saw the picture of that light? It's all over the country. The science has taken an exam everywhere. Now, he's right here, the very same one. Now, that said about marriage and divorce. Now, he talks about the vindication of marriage and divorce. The same one on the mountain. And shook the hills back there. The same one that came down the river, the same yesterday and forever. Now you notice in here, he talks of three definite appearances with manifestation of 1 Thessalonians 4:16, the one that came down with the shout, the voice, and so on. In marriage and divorce up there in Tucson, hundreds of people saw it, and they saw the pillar of fire, and they saw the black cloud side by side, exactly as it came to Moses. Absolutely 100% scriptures, no man could ever have it. Then he speaks of the mountains being shaken, the earthquake in the mountains out there in Arizona, the blast that shook the mountain down almost and cut the rocks out, the whirlwind, he speaks of on the river. Now he said, there's a woman, and she recognizes something's happened. The light's hanging over, she's sitting right there, green sweater, something on, don't let them. I know, I suppose we're strangers. And then he says, that's right, do you believe that from God, you're in need of something, you believe that God can be in the trouble is, and if he does, he'll know it's a supernatural power, because I don't know you, it'll have to come through supernatural. Depends on what you think it is, see? You can take your side with the priest, call it the devil, you can take your side with the believer, call it God. Whichever you believe, that's where your word will come from. Now that's exactly what I see about this fellow Weaver. His book, he ends up, as though he's cautious, but he spills the beans, he's a Baptist. He has no faith in the doctrine which is vindicated, which is one God. If God will reveal in your trouble, you accept your atonement for your trouble. I don't know what trouble is, but I know and you know something's going on. Now let me tell you how you're feeling, a real sweet, warm, comfortable feeling. I'm looking straight at it. It's that light, amber light hanging over the one. The lady is suffering from trouble in her stomach. She's kind of like a growth in her stomach. She's not from here. She was from Wisconsin. Is that right? You're healed. Your faith has made you whole. Now who touched the woman? I'm 25 yards from her. She touched Jesus Christ, the high priest. You believe that? In other words, he's telling you the living reality of God in every role he ever had. He's here and he's helping people. I'm looking at a woman that I talked to. Her name's Mrs. Waldrop. He tells about how she died of cancer 18 years ago and she's living right today. Her doctors brought her to meeting. How can the woman live? No sign that she could live. And I met her and I saw her myself there. And she brought a man from Missouri. His name is Mr. Cooper. And she said, go on back home, you're healed. 189, here's a woman. I know her, Mrs. McKinney, from down there in Georgia. I forget what her problem was, but she was healed. There's a man sitting back of him. His name was Mr. Cox. And he prayed for Mr. Cox, told him to stand up. And then some of you might have met Mr. West. He's in paragraph 191. Across the aisle, a little further back, as a man came from New Mexico. Never saw him in my life. I'm looking at him right now. He's right behind me. And he was behind Brother Branham in the auditorium. Brother Branham faced one auditorium and the gym back in where people were. He's from New Mexico. The man is the girl he's interested in. That girl, something wrong with her mouth. Pallid from mouth. It's wrong. The man's name is Mr. West. Would you stand, sir? I'm told to stand to you. But the Lord will heal his child. Do you believe with all your heart? And I admit Mr. West. How many of you believe now with all your heart? Now isn't Jesus as he missed it a day and forever? I'm going over this rapidly because I have no notes here. Here's a person sitting here crippled, lying on a cot. Can you hear me? Something's wrong. I can't heal you. It's a man. It's his child. I don't know you. You're a woman. I'm a man. This is the first time in my life I suppose we met. That brought you. Frankly, this is your first time here. You came from a long way. You're shattered to death. You have a cancer. Doctors can do no more. It's true. You're sure to die. Doctors can do no more for you. Now, he enters into desperation where people can enter into it. Three lepers sitting at a gate in Samaria. If we sit here without food, we're going to die. Let's go to the enemy camp and see if they kill us. Well, we die. Anyway, we're going to die. If they save us, wonderful, we're going to live. They took a chance. And by that faith, I've always said faith is a calculated risk. And by that faith, they not only saved themselves, but the whole group. Now, you're going to die. You can't live, but you're not asked to go to the camp of Gideon. You're invited to the house of the Father. Now, they don't have to fight anymore. You can just lie there and get it. You're dying with cancer. Can't live outside of God. You're not from this city. You're not from around here, from a long way, Milwaukee. Truly, right. Do you believe? Will you accept God now as you're here? If you will, no matter how weak you are, how bedfast you are, I believe in your case, I'd rise up in the name of Jesus Christ. Get off the cot and go home and live for the glory of God. I think that's where they might have helped her up if she got off the cot. Yes, rise up and go home. Don't be scared. Get off the cot. And she did. Somebody hold her so you can get her strength. That's the one. Do you believe God? Just let her get a little strength. She'll be all right. That's it, sister. There she is in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's stand up and praise him. Now, there you are. We don't have time to bring out a highlight I was going to look at to try to help you on the other part of the message. But we did get finished. And we're wide open for questions. I'll be back in the pulpit on New Year's. And we'll have a regular New Year's service in the morning. Next Sunday, 1 o'clock, we get together, remember? And you're free to stay for dinner, who's here. So, that's how we closed pretty fast this morning. And I wouldn't have read so fast, but I took time on other things that I felt led to talk about to build us up spiritually, to build us up in faith, to give us a little more impetus, knowing, look, we are on the glory trail. We're on the winning side. We're on Jesus' side. Jesus is not on our side. We're on Jesus' side. Look, I don't want him to cross over. He did that once. Let's give him the benefit. Let's cross over to his side. How many times he's crossed over here? No one will ever know. Once is all we need to cross over. To take a firm stand and conviction. And I'm glad I belong to this old cult. The world cult's not a bad name. It's just what you want to insinuate. I don't mind they call us this and that and the other thing. Woman haters, you know we don't hate women here. Now we ain't going to be polygamous and think we overlove them. No, we don't believe in that Jones stuff and Woodruff stuff. We don't believe in that stuff. That's not a God, brother, sister. No. A man says he can get in this pulpit here and have two wives at one time. He's a liar. I'm standing before a... Look, knowing that there, this Bible open. Brother Brandon said there's a God in heaven. I'm telling you what the prophet said. Polygamy, out. Now, if a member of the congregation tried it, it's still wrong. But he wouldn't be in half bad shape. The other guy is, who's doing and teaching others. That man's wrong. Those people are wrong. Don't you ever believe otherwise. The wrath of God has come upon this world because they love the creature more than the Creator. They go right to creation and say, there's no God. It all happened. That's my God. You watch what's going to happen. If you think AIDS is bad, wait till it really takes off. It mutates. One serum will never be enough anymore for even one person. Well, they're playing it down. That's all right. We're going to play this up.
Amen.
And get out of here. Let's rise and be dismissed. Gracious God, eternal Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you again for the joy and privilege we have here coming together and talk your word, to go over it and just love it, Lord. It does so much for us. Truly, Lord, we realize that if we can just get out of the way, Lord, our words and our thoughts, and let your words and your thoughts begin to expose themselves and develop themselves in our lives, mature themselves, so the light comes out, there is going to be a people who do not read to go down on the ground and get resurrected. There's going to be a people right here, Lord. Everyone's going to be healed. I know that, Lord. The prophet prayed it. I know it to be true. And I know, Lord, that people are already, the body cells are forming around the life of the Word. They had to form around a life before. Now we know they're forming around a perfect life. A perfect Word bringing us into a place. Death steps back. Everything steps back. Father, we cannot praise you enough for this. We thank you, O God. May we leave here with hearts full of joy, respect, love, tenderness, mercy, doing justly, loving mercy, walking humbly, manifesting our love and our service to you by loving and serving others, doing everything we can, O God. Father God, we know we've seen the example. Now let it come forth in us because we want to praise you and love you more, Lord. For our sakes, it doesn't seem to matter so much, Lord, speaking humanly. But for your sake, Lord, when we see what you've done, it just makes us want to go all the way we've never gone before. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power, honor, and glory through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The Lord bless you. Take the name of Jesus with you.